I'm Nicole.
And I'm Brandon, and this is Spectrum Sessions,
where we talk about all things like diagnosis. We're also therapists who come at this with not only personal experience, but clinical experience as well.
In today's episode, we're going to be exploring sensory challenges that impact everyday life being autistic. From discussing what can be overwhelming to what can be soothing, we're trying to uncover practical strategies. Whether you are navigating sensory sensitivity yourself, supporting a loved one, or you're just curious to learn more, this episode is for you. Let's dive right in.
A person who finds it difficult to process everyday sensory information can experience sensory overload or information overload. Too much information can cause stress, anxiety, and possibly physical pain. This can result in withdrawal, distressed behavior, or meltdowns. So I think that the most recognized sensitivities are hypersensitive and hyposensitive. So hypersensitivity is an overreaction to stimuli, whereas hyposensitivity is underreacting to stimuli. An example of that for me with not recognizing pain is something that I experienced this weekend, actually. I ended up with a 101 fever in urgent care, not recognizing that I had a UTI that was going on for I don't know how long, because for me, I don't feel things in a normal way. I kind of just felt generally unwell, and it wasn't until things turned really severe, and that signaled to me, okay, something is actually wrong with me. So for me, I can't really pinpoint bodily sensations or things that I'm kind of feeling in my body.
Yeah, I imagine that's got to be really hard. And I know that was an extreme example. Are there other examples, Nicole, that kind of happen like almost on the daily or on the weekly?
Yeah, I think something a lot of neurodivergent folks struggle with is not recognizing when they need to go to the bathroom, not recognizing when they're hungry, hence me not recognizing when I need to go to the bathroom, resulting in a UTI probably. And I think a lot of autistic folks don't understand that they're hungry until their stomach is audibly growling. And I think that sometimes we get so hyper-focused on like certain things, or, you know, we're so busy working that we forget that, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, or, oh, I have to drink water and eat food. So that's just, you know, an everyday example. And I could give a million more on my sensory sensitivities, but I just wanted to, you know, point out the difference that people can underreact or overreact, and they could do both, you know, in the same person. So I think that as a clinician, that's just something to be mindful of.
Yes, and this has been a theme in previous episodes where we said, you know, people with autism, they really thrive on routine. And this is another area where routine can really come in handy, because you start to, okay, every day I wake up and I make this kind of breakfast, and then I go to work at this time, and then I do this at my job. And, you know, sometimes you have a job that's really unpredictable or a home life that's really unpredictable, and that can lend itself to you struggling with issues like this, like sensory issues, because, you know, you lose that control over your environment, and that can be really tough. And we'll talk more about that later in this episode. So in the same light of talking about how routines can really be helpful, you know, and those are something you can really establish at work and at home, but in the terms of an interpersonal relationship or a romantic relationship, there's always going to be times where, you know, stuff that you're not expecting to come up comes up. And when you're dealing with sensory issues, that's where it can be really hard, I think, to manage them well. Nicole, do you have any experience with that in your relationship where maybe sensory issues have come up?
Yeah, and I think it can cause a lot of conflict and be taken in the wrong way. I think it could be taken as like, I'm annoyed by my husband sneezing 5 times. And I think it could be taken in a mean way. But for me, it's just like, it's loud. I don't like it. It's unpredictable. It's loud. It scares me. It scares the cats. I'm not happy about it. But it sounds so mean. I know it sounds mean. Like, why are you sneezing? That's mean. But I think that is something that, you know, my partner doesn't fully understand. And I think a lot of people, you know, and loved ones of people who are autistic don't understand. I think that they take it very personal and like a critique. But that's, you know, not how I want to convey it. I just want to convey it that I'm very overwhelmed and overstimulated. And just because you're doing the thing that's overstimulating me doesn't mean that I'm mad at you. It's just I'm mad at the sound, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, there's varying degrees of just how much the sensory issue can affect you or annoy you or bother you.
Yes.
Definitely subjective to, you know, where you're at on the spectrum or on the sensory issue spectrum. But I totally hear what you're saying about sneezes. Sometimes people are very loud sneezers.
Right.
You know, I just like, I'm startled. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, ah, come on. And in my head, I'm just like holding it in. But I don't really hold it against anyone who makes that a deal breaker. When they're first starting to date someone, I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, your sneezing is just, yeah, sorry, not going to work. So Nicole, it sounds like you have, so sound is a big issue for you, sensory wise. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So Brandon and I were talking off the script, off the recording, and we were talking about, you know, things that bother us. And for me, it's so variable, and it's so many things bother me. And it's things that people wouldn't give a second thought about. So I was telling Brandon, like, if I hear somebody, you know, far away from me whispering, to me, it's painful. So like we talked about, you know, a little bit ago, sensory issues can actually feel painful to an autistic person. So for me, if I hear that, I cringe. Like, I get so disturbed and upset. And again, I don't fault the person who's whispering. Just to me, it's something that's painful. That's just a very small, strange example. What about you, Brandon? Do you have any, like, weird ones?
Yeah. There's this trend now where people roll down their windows when they're driving, and they play this music that almost vibrates the sidewalks. It's so loud. It's like, zoom, zoom.
Yep.
And I look at the person with the most angry face. especially if it's in my rear view mirror, and I'm just like, how dare you? Like, if you listen to music like that, that is okay, but you shouldn't play it for the entire neighborhood. I don't know. That I'm just ranting, but I think you get a sense of, like, I consider myself a very nice person, but that the sounds bring out, like, the worst in me. I'm like, oh, just get me out of here. I like almost hate the source of the sound. Mm-hmm. I'm like, stop it.
Yes.
And I think that's true of a lot of people with sensory issues with autism, is like, they're like, oh my God, just please let this sensory thing go away so I can live my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a big way that people can help with sensory issues is really just to be empathetic and considerate. And that goes with people with autism, you know. If you have the choice and you have the ability, you know, surround yourself with people who have those qualities. It feels really good when someone, like, gets you, even if it's just a little bit, where you can feel like, hey, I can talk about this sensory issue, and I know when I talk about it, it's going to be considered. And, like, people are going to accommodate, you know, and they'll turn the music down, or they'll stop whispering, or they'll, you know, not wear a certain perfume or cologne, you know, things like that. You know, it's just like, when people are willing to accommodate you, I think it makes you feel really appreciated.
Yeah, I think, you know, the important word there is it's consider, right? So I think that people listening, like, what I want to say is, just because you don't understand or you wouldn't react in the same way to what the autistic person is saying is bothersome, doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to be a little bit accommodating, right? Like, we don't have to fully understand things to accommodate. And I think that's what's really important here. I mean, good on you if you try to really understand where the person's coming from, but you don't have to. If they're saying that it's bothersome, then respect that. Some tips to manage sensory overload include wearing noise-canceling headphones or earplugs. A really great brand is Loop earplugs. I could include the link to those in this episode description as well. Or noise-canceling AirPods, or even over-the-ear headphones such as Apple, Sony, or Bose. Because I know for some people, earbuds are bothersome and irritating. Another thing that you can do is wear sunglasses or even get your prescription lenses tinted for, you know, when you go outside to transition. And I think that we're working towards a movement here, and I want people to recognize that if you need to wear sunglasses in places that are maybe a little bit unconventional, that's okay. Like, please do it. If you need to wear them in the fucking grocery store, go ahead.
Yeah, amen. You know, and another good thing to have, is fidget toys, you know, fidget toys, fidget jewelry. There's this new kind of trendy thing called Crazy Erin's Thinking Putty. It's got textures and it, you know, it feels really comforting to some people. And that kind of goes with creating a safe sensory safe space or a haven to like decompress. One of the most common things, calming things I love are, projector lights that move around the room. And listening to the same song on repeat 50 times, for me in particular, it's Radiohead's Fake Plastic Trees. I think my fiance can attest to the fact that maybe she knows every word by now and she doesn't even like the song. Or you can maybe buy a weighted blanket or stuffed animal if you enjoy the pressure of it.
Another thing that might be helpful is, so you can either create them yourself or you can buy them on Etsy. So visual cues or cards, for example, if you shut down verbally when you're overstimulated, you could be having these communication cards to aid in helping you express your needs so that you don't have to have the burden of speaking verbally. And another way that you can help your sensory needs is to educate those around you. So help other people understand and support your needs. I know that this can be difficult, especially for people-pleasing tendencies we might have, but if someone does not know that their scraping utensils literally pains you, then it will never change.
And I think, you know, to go with this list, Nicole, it really is, like, subjective, and it really, I think, just, like, have fun with it. Like, experiment, you know, see what works for you, see what doesn't work for you, see what environments work for you. You know, treat it almost like an experiment where, yeah, you're just trying stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a child at school who has autism and they have sensory issues, you know, obviously a good place to start would be to get an individualized education plan. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. But, you know, and of course you can advocate for their needs in that IEP. But it's also very important to continue to follow up with the school, with the teachers, with the staff to make sure that that IEP is, you know, is successfully accommodating your child's needs as far as sensory issues. And really, you know, like we said earlier, kind of try stuff out, you know, experiment and really be a detective when it comes to your child's sensory issues. And, you know, don't try to understand fully what are the environments he thrives in? What are the environments he struggles in and everything in between. And when you're dealing with the school, I think it could be helpful to just keep a journal and really document like every time you contact the school or the teachers and, you know, what's being talked about and really the more information with that, the better.
And I think too, offering from a female perspective, if you have a female child in school, and they're struggling with sensory difficulties, I think that because females internalize so much, they might not be outwardly expressing that their sensory needs are not being met. So I think maybe as a parent, you can ask, you know, targeted questions to try to gain better insight as to how they're doing throughout the day, if there's anything that's really overwhelming to them, anything that, you know, they wish they had that could comfort them or lessen their, you know, stress or anxiety a little bit more.
Thanks for tuning in this week's episode on sensory issues. We hope this conversation shed some light on experiences, challenges, and strategies that can help you mitigate sensory sensitivity. Remember, just as every autistic person is unique, so are everyone's sensory issues. Understanding, patience, and compassion go a really long way. So if you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who could benefit from it. Take care, everyone, and stay curious.